Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, as we get ready for Giants baseball. Well, the Royals are in town, and what that means, we run into Ryan Lefevre, of course, one of the play-by-play voices on Royals radio, and it's great to see you, and just thinking back to 2014, and I know you had a World Series after that, a victory, but it's great to see you at the ballpark.
Yeah, good to see you too, Marty. I miss you on the other side of the bay, but it's good to see you here in San Francisco, and yeah, that was a painful memory for us in 2014, which was washed away somewhat by winning it in 2015, and just so many stories compared to 15. 15 was just kind of a straightforward. There were some moments, obviously, we'll never forget, but with the way Madison Bumgarner pitched and with the Royals making it to the postseason for the first time in 29 years and winning their first eight postseason games to get to the World Series, and then coming here, and then the funny story, when Bumgarner pitched a shutout here in Game 5, he and Ned Yost ended up being in the same area getting ready to do postgame interviews, and Ned went up to Madison Bumgarner and said, "Hey, it's very nice to meet you, and congratulations." And I guess Bumgarner was really excited to meet Ned, because Ned does a lot of hunting shows in the offseason with Jeff Foxworthy, so he was thrilled to meet Ned, and Ned's final fateful words to Bumgarner were, "At least we don't have to worry about you the rest of the World Series." And of course, he pitches five shutout innings in Game 7, and it was just such a magical run for us. The feeling that I'll never forget, Marty, was when Salvador Perez popped out to Pablo Sandoval and the Giants were throwing their gloves in the air in celebration. We were all just stunned in Kansas City because it felt like we had gone off script, but Giants are a great organization. If you're going to lose to somebody, it may as well be the Giants.
Boy, great to have Ryan Lefevre with a good story about Ned Yost and Bumgarner. That's a good one. You know, on the Tuesday night game, watching the Royals play, and here comes Perez up, and he lined the ball down the right field line for a base hit. I said, boy, thank goodness he didn't do that against Bumgarner, and he tried to pull that outside pitch and popped it up.
He was the only guy who did anything against Bumgarner. He hit a home run against Bumgarner at Kauffman Stadium in Game 1 of the World Series. That was the only run that Bumgarner gave up. But, yeah, they're slowly but surely putting it together. They've basically had the same problems the Giants have had. They just haven't been scoring any runs. But they picked it up in May, and they've really picked it up in June. And you know, we're a little different division than you are. I mean, there's a little more grace in our division that the Royals are still five games under 500, and yet they're still only five games out of first place.
Well, let's talk about the Royals team a little bit. You know, of course, on our show, everybody wants to sell and bring in new free agents and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you read the papers, and everyone's speculating about what the Royals may do. I love Lorenzo Cain. I don't know what's going to happen with him. But I guess my question to you, what's the future of the Royals? Are they cutting back? Are they going to move people? Is Cain going to be a free agent? Give me a little take on what's up with the Royals.
You know, we have the same questions every day, Marty, in Kansas City, because the Royals have just been so up and down that, I mean, I think our fan base right now, they're thinking, okay, we're still in it. Let's go for it. Yeah. But if the Royals lose two or three in a row, there's this growing sentiment, I think out of fear more than anything else, that maybe the Royals need to start looking forward to the future, because Mike Moustakas is a free agent, Alcides Escobar is a free agent, Eric Hosmer is a free agent, Lorenzo Cain's a free agent, Jason Vargas is a free agent. Wow. And the last collective bargaining agreement killed the Royals, because the Royals were really banking on, if they lost all of these free agents and they made them a qualifying offer, they might end up with four or five more first-round picks. So the timing of the last agreement killed the Royals. So while everyone wants the Royals to win this year and go as far as they can, there's also, on the back burner, we can't lose all five of these guys and get nothing in return and hope to get back to the playoffs again someday. So it's really kind of a mixed emotion that changes daily based on what the Royals are doing here and now.
Boy. So what's your gut feeling on some of these players? I like Cain. Of course, this is a big ballpark as we're sitting here in San Francisco talking about this and watching him play center field and coming in and getting a pop-up and putting it away or going in the gap. But he's on the 30 side now, and the power hasn't been there. On base, a little bit better, slugging a little better. What's your take on Lorenzo Cain?
Lorenzo Cain may not do anything statistically that's going to knock your eyes out, except he's going to just help you win games every day. Somehow, some way. The metrics don't love on him defensively, but he's as good as anybody I've seen in the American League. You just got to see Byron Buxton when the Twins played the Giants, and he's really good in center field. But Lorenzo's great in center. He's got a good arm. He runs the base as well. You know, he hits. He hits for power. He's a player that doesn't cause any problems in the clubhouse, and he's emotional when you really need him to be emotional. He's the entire package.
All right. Well, left in the tank, is there stuff in there for another few years?
I think so, and I think, you know, what's going to happen with each Royal, whether we're able to keep them versus them going somewhere else, and the big question always is, when there's a comfort zone with one team and these guys all came up through the minor leagues together, they all understand each other, they all know where they fit on this team, the human side always is, okay, if Mike Moustakas or Eric Hosmer goes to another team and then all of a sudden they're elevated to a level on a team that they've never been before, where the expectations are different, their role on that team is different, you just never know from the human side how the player is going to respond to that. Lorenzo's the kind of guy, and I think this is true for most of the guys on the Royals, but Lorenzo's the kind of guy, he's going to be who he is no matter where he's playing.
Boy, very good. Boy, I enjoy this baseball discussion with Ryan Lefevre, of course, one of the play-by-play voices of Royals Radio. Well, the game itself, home runs, walks, strikeouts, home runs are going through the roof, mm-hmm. not literally, although Dave Kingman did hit one through the roof in the Metrodome. But what do you see in the game today?
Well, we've been badly affected by that, to be honest, Marty. There was this feeling in spring training that the Royals were going to hit more home runs this year, and I think what hurt the Royals in April was trying to keep up with the other teams and hitting home runs, and that's just not this offense. I mean, we have a team similar to AT&T Park. It's big. It's conducive to gap-type hitters. It's conducive to teams that play good defense and have good speed. And so, you know, when the Royals were successful in 2014 and 2015, the numbers people would say, well, that's a fluke. You know, you can't win. You can't sustain winning if you have a low on-base percentage. You can't sustain winning if you have a low slugging percentage, low OPS, whatever. But it worked for the Royals, and that's the way baseball was played for a long time. But you're right. We're in an era right now where, you know, it's all about slugging percentage. It's all about home runs. Strikeouts don't matter. That was another strength of the Royals, you know, and I saw it again last night. You know, instead of striking out, they put the ball in play. They make the defense execute, and a lot of times things work out for the Royals by avoiding the strikeout. So what's going on in the game right now is very much anti the championship Kansas City Royals, and I think one of the things that's hurt this team this year is trying to live up to the industry's expectations, and what they've done is they've gotten away from their strengths.
Boy, good analysis, Ryan. Good analysis of that. Herrera, is he going to go somewhere? I know the Nationals, every time they lose a game in the ninth inning, Herrera or Robertson's name comes up, and even Melanson's name comes up. What about Herrera? He is the last of the three who's still here.
Yeah, and he, he's. I don't know if I want to use the word struggle, but he's had struggles that we haven't seen from him in the past. And for him, from the Royals' point of view, it's, hey, Kelvin, just pretend like this is the seventh inning and the eighth inning. Just do what you've always done. But when you're the last guy to grab the baton, I think there's a tendency to think to yourself, my role is different, therefore I need to be different. And he's been hurt this year by some of his secondary pitches. He's given up more home runs than he normally does, and it's on changeups and sliders. When he bears down with his fastball, he's really hard to hit. And so I think Kelvin Herrera is perfectly capable of being the way that he was the past few years for years to come. But I think he's still figuring out being the closer, you know, being the one of the last guys standing, as you talked about. What does that mean for me? And it's no different from a guy who's batting seventh and now he's batting third. The team says don't do anything different, but human nature is, well, I've got to do something different. So he's still figuring that out.
Does he stay?
I hope he does. I hope they all stay. But you know what? Whatever the team does on the field is going to dictate whether they stay or not. But the Royals, if it doesn't work out the way we all hope, the Royals have some very enticing pieces, I think, that could help other teams.
All right, very good. Nice to have Ryan with us. How's your dad, Jim Lefevre, doing? Of course, that is a name in the Bay Area. Everybody knows him, mm-hmm. a former Rookie of the Year with the Dodgers. He's managed in the Bay Area and, of course, a hitting coach here for years. How is Jim Lefevre doing?
Well, he's 75 years old now, and he's living in Palm Springs. He also spends a lot of time in Arizona. My three other siblings are there. and his grandkids. But he's doing fine. He's not affiliated with the team right now. He and his twin brother, Tip, my uncle Tip, they are coaching high school baseball, freshman high school baseball in the Southern California area, and they love it. They've got kids who aren't stressed out about colleges and getting drafted. They're just new to high school. They want to learn baseball. And those two, you know, they've been close their whole lives being twins, and they're coaching baseball together at 75 years old and having a ball.
I love it. Boy, great story, especially on Father's Day. Ryan, nice to see you, especially. Love seeing you. Miss you over in Oakland. But if I rooted for you against the Mets. I'm glad you got a ring and all that stuff. So congratulations.
Hey, Marty, great to see you.
All right. That's Ryan Lefevre. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.